Welcome to Voice for Choice podcast, the podcast that focuses on China issues with special attention to the Central and Eastern European perspective. I'm your host, Kara Němečková. Joining me today will be Nikoleta Němečkajová. She is a research fellow at Association for International Affairs in Prague, focusing on disinformation, media freedom, and strategic communication. She formerly worked as an analyst for the Kremlin Watch program at the European Values Center for Security Policy, monitoring and analyzing pro-Russian disinformation and propaganda spread in Central and Eastern European countries. She is also an analyst at Globsec, where she's focusing on topics related to hybrid threats and strategic communication. Hello and welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Today, we will discuss the outcomes of the Slovak elections and what it means for the country's China policy. Let's start with a brief overview of Bratislava's China policy throughout the past few years.
Well, I wouldn't call it a China policy as such. That is a bit of overstatement. There hasn't been a unified approach or policy to China in years in Slovakia. The policy is often focused solely on economic issues and investment opportunities at the expense of human rights issues, which are on the very periphery of the debate. There were only two times when we saw human rights issues addressed by our political leaders. The first time it was by President Andrej Kiska, who welcomed the Dalai Lama in Slovakia. And the second time it was again president, this time Zuzana Čaputová, who welcomed Chinese Minister of Foreign Affairs, to whom she spoke about human rights violations in China. But these were the two most prominent cases. Besides this, it was mainly our politicians visiting China, mainland China, and also visiting tech headquarters of Huawei, etc. So we have seen quite a disregard for also EU policies in these matters, because EU has been trying to step away from critical dependencies on China, and also EU has been advocating for more cautious approach to cooperation with Chinese tech firms. But Slovak politicians don't really pay attention to this, and often they visit China, these tech firms, and talk mainly about economic topics. And it isn't a matter of the past. We saw that this April, then head of the Slovak parliament, Boris Kolár, again visited China and didn't talk about human rights issues, only about economic cooperation. Also having a train line from Košice to Bratislava, which would be, given the Chinese involvement, a risk for our critical infrastructure.
But isn't there a sense of disillusionment with regards to the expectations that were there initially regarding Chinese investments in the region, and maybe they haven't fully materialized? Is there some sort of a disappointment?
Our politicians have grown dissatisfied and a bit frustrated with the results of economic promises coming from China. And we see this best on the example of Robert Fico, who was back during his first or second tenure as a prime minister. He was very open and very active in advocating for Chinese investments and cooperation. He even criticized President Kiska for meeting with Dalai Lama, because Fico said that this could threaten the potential investments. But even he, as an once ardent supporter of economic cooperation, then slowly started to lose in interest in these topics when he saw that nothing of the promises materialized. So, yeah, we see definitely a disillusionment, but along with disillusionment, we see huge disinterest in a China-related topic among politicians, as well as Slovak media and general population.
How would you describe China's public image in Slovakia? How does Slovak public perceive China?
There is still very little awareness of China. Only 38% of Slovaks see China as a potential threat to their country. There are still widespread stereotypes about China, sometimes even racist and xenophobic. But this creates, I think, an opportunity for China, because it is still very new or underexplored topic, and many people don't understand China and tend to underestimate China. And this creates an opening for pro-Chinese actors to spread their influence in Slovakia, because we are not ready. We see it in the security doctrine, which is very China-light. There is not much focus on China. We see this also in the lack of experts on the matter in the country. There are still very few experts who understand China and can formulate positions on this country.
In your recent paper for our sister project Map Influenced, you analyzed the programs of 10 Slovak political parties to assess their stances on China and also what their representatives have been saying about China. What role does China play in the domestic Slovak political debate? So you said that it's mostly economic. Are mm-hmm. there maybe some other key topics that dominate the discussion?
Recently, it was the issue of cooperation with Taiwan. While back, we preferred, or our political representatives preferred cooperation with mainland China. And now we are seeing that more and more politicians are actually advocating for increased cooperation with Taiwan. For a long time, it was mainly a private sector which was developing this cooperation. But now we have seen our politicians too trying to deepen and extend the relations, mainly because of the fact that Slovak economy is driven by its automobile industry. And this is highly dependent on Chinese components. So our representatives have been trying to involve as much cooperation with Taiwan on components as possible. Besides Taiwan, it was Chinese peace plan after it was released to public. Mainly Smer and Republika, these two parties were very proactive in the topic. They saw the plan very positively, they promoted it, and both Robert Fico and Milan Uhrik, leaders of these two parties, met with Chinese representatives to speak about the plan, and they used this opportunity to portray EU and West as such, as a bloc that doesn't want to have a peace in Ukraine, and in contrast, China as the actor who is pushing for peace and trying to really end the conflict in Ukraine.
Pellegrini has announced his party's decision to form a coalition government with Smer and the hard nationalist SNS. It seems that he will become the Speaker of Parliament and Fico will assume the role of the new Prime Minister. Where do these three parties stand on China? And consequentially, what kind of China policy can we anticipate from this coalition?
We briefly touched upon Smer's approach to China. It is very ambiguous and also opportunistic. As I mentioned, Robert Fico was once an ardent advocate for increased cooperation with China. Then he grew disappointed with the promise of Chinese investments. Now, Smer wasn't really addressing China in its pre-election campaign. Its election agenda addressed China only in a few paragraphs, saying that Smer wants to develop foreign policy to all corners of the world. And, you know, not specifically pointing out to China, but saying that Smer will also respect countries with different governance system, which is implied that China, basically. But apart from this mention, they didn't really focus on China-related topics, except for the peace plan, which they used for their own purposes and own political line. Slovak National Party. In their pre-election campaign, China was absent. I didn't come across any mention of China-related topics. As for Hlas and Peter Pellegrini, their stance both towards China and Russia is very ambiguous. When Peter Pellegrini was Prime Minister of Slovakia back during Robert Fico's government, he was also trying to extend cooperation with China and get the investments in. And now, during the pre-election campaign, Hlas addressed TikTok ban, which was passed in Slovak National Council. Peter Pellegrini basically said that this social media platform presents the same level of threat or risk as other social media platforms. So he didn't want to discontinue his account there and stop using TikTok. Together, I think that they won't make any significant change in Slovak policy towards China. This policy has been stalled for years, and none of these actors is very active in the topics, so I don't expect any significant change.
Orbán was among the first to congratulate Fico on his electoral victory. And many fear that we are witnessing a rise of a new Orbán in Slovakia. Could this be the birth of a new coalition within the EU, which could potentially jeopardize the bloc's unity on Russia and hinder the prospects of achieving the EU consensus on China? Or do you think that Pellegrini will be able to keep Fico in check?
Fico is often compared to Orbán, but Smer and Fico are in a bit of a different position domestically. They don't have the amount and power, the amount of support and power as Fidesz in Hungary. So that's first obstacle and difference between Fico and Orbán. Second of all, Slovakia needs EU funds. Without them, we wouldn't have much. And there is also the reconstruction plan financed by EU going on. So I wouldn't say Fico would dare to jeopardize the EU funds coming in to Slovakia by creating obstacles for EU and the support for Ukraine. But I would draw the attention to Fico's past premiership, during which he said one thing in Brussels and the second thing in Slovakia. So we see this two-track policy. It was, I think, last time sanctions that really reflected Fico's ambiguity on this issue. He voted for the sanctions in Brussels, but then back home in Slovakia to satisfy his voters and supporters, he criticized the sanctions, and he was saying that, oh, it needs to be reformed or completely scrapped. So I think this time, again, to satisfy people voting for Smer and Fico, he will do at least something, but I don't think he would dare to completely boycott the sanctions on EU level. And in terms of V4, we still have Czechia and Poland, who are very pro-Ukraine. So even if Fico starts with a harsher line towards Ukraine and he teams up with Orbán, there are still two against two in the V4, if we are not looking only on the EU level, but also on this lower level.
So essentially what you're saying is that the Fico that we're getting as the new prime minister is not the same that we knew from the electoral campaign.
No, yeah, I would definitely say that it is not the same person, because during a pre-election campaign, the debates are heated. You have to get the people's attention, and also your campaign has to be more bold. So we see that during the campaign, Fico was spinning this narrative about Ukrainian fascists and saying that we need to end the sanctions, etc. But there was also a point when he said that, when Ukraine is prepared to join the EU, I would not obstruct this process. So he basically said he supports Ukraine's membership when the country is ready. So even during the pre-election campaign, which was very heated in Slovakia, it was very nasty. Still, Fico remained rational and said that, okay, we are pro-Ukrainian membership. And also, he didn't say he's against the EU and Slovakia's membership. So his line was always on the edge. He was saying that, oh, EU needs a reform, but we don't want Slovakia to leave the EU. We need to stay in. Same for Slovak National Party's leader, Andrej Danko. In his electoral program, he said EU needs deep reform, but he didn't say, oh, let's leave EU.
One of the moments of the electoral campaign that made headlines throughout Europe was Fico's pledge to stop sending weapons to Ukraine if he gets elected. Now it happened. So will he follow through with the promise, do you think?
I think he will. Also, after the announcement of the victor of the elections, during one of his press conferences, he said that there will be no more bullets coming to Ukraine. And so we see he's sticking to this plan even after the elections. It seems like a big problem, but Slovakia has already sent to Ukraine all the equipment and aid that it was able to spare. So there isn't much left. Second of all, Slovakia's aid to Ukraine is substantial in terms of GDP, but not in comparison to other global partners of Ukraine. So this won't hurt Ukraine and the conflict that much as foreign media are painting. Third of all, many of the contracts covering military aid from Slovakia to Ukraine are private business contracts with Ukrainian government. And Slovakia's military industry was basically dying before the conflict in Ukraine. And now it is back on track. It is creating new jobs for people. It is bringing money to the economy. So if Fico wanted to stop even this private investment in Ukraine and military aid to Ukraine, he would have a hard time explaining this decision to people because it brings the money and the jobs. So it would be hard to explain. Another dimension of this issue is Slovak National Party and Andrej Danko. This could be a potentially more problematic part than Fico's Smer, because Andrej Danko and people from, not SNS, because they are not core members of Slovak National Party, they were circled to parliament by voters. And these people include Tomáš Taraba, Kufa brothers, Martina Šimkovičová, etc. These are people actively spreading pro-Russian, pro-Kremlin and anti-Ukrainian narratives in Slovakia. So Slovak National Party could be potentially bigger problem than Fico and Smer.
Do you think that Beijing celebrated Smer's victory in Slovak parliamentary elections?
I think they would celebrate Republika's victory more. Because Republika was more inclined to Beijing's line. But I think they are also pretty satisfied with the results. Because again, Fico is not likely to intervene into China's business. He will probably just leave China alone to do its own thing. So I don't think it's a huge victory for China, because I don't think he will actively push for more cooperation with China, but at the same time, they will be left alone and they can do whatever they want.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Nika.
Thank you.
This was Voice for Choice. If you would like to know more about our work, please do visit our website at chinaobservers.eu. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We hope you'll make the right choice and tune in for the next episode of Voice for Choice.